Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He has things to say that are worth saying and worth repeating. We serve a God who loves us. He's not like the human kings that just want to take advantage of the people. He cares about every soul, every soul. He cares about those you love, the ones that get on your nerves, the one that need help, the one that need to help others. He cares about every soul, the rich, the poor, everyone. But things are in place that distract men away from God. And also men make choices against God. And He has to deal with everything. So those who choose disobedience, He loves them as dear children. I mean, He loves them. His love don't change. It doesn't evaporate. But as a creation, as His creation, he has to do something because of their choices. That's why the earth will be judged. The earth is His creation. I meant to say the world system. The earth is the planet. But the world system will be judged because it's comprised of people who chose to do the wrong thing, and it affected others. And those who live in sin, they do the work of cancer. They must be stopped. Even though everyone is, God made everyone, He cares about everyone, He's also going to judge the wicked and the lost for what they've done. And they're going to pay for their own sins because they didn't believe on Jesus Christ. And then when we find out how God is, His love and His peace, we enjoy His peace and His presence. We have fellowship with Him. He helps us out throughout our lives. Then we want others to know the same thing. That's why Jesus said, the bride say, come. Because people who love God, they want others to join in. And most of the people of God, they don't care what you've done. They want you to say, some people are not as strong as others. That's why I said most people want you to get saved. The bride do say, come. And Jesus say, come. And no Christian will ever try to deny somebody from being saved. Now, when Apostle Paul got saved, they didn't believe it. They weren't used to Pharisees changing their mind and opinions. And they didn't want Paul around. Ananias was supposed to pray for Paul, and he received his sight, and then he was going to pray for him. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which all that happened. But God had to work with Ananias to get him to do it. Ananias saw him as a threat, and the Lord said, no, he prays, and he's going to come. He's going to, and he told him where to meet him, and he did. And he prayed for him. But nobody trusted Saul. His name was Saul first, because God had to change his name to Paul. And he left. He had to leave. And he was gone 3.5 years. Then he came back and he had changed his name to Paul. And people were able to receive him that didn't know him, because they weren't going to have Saul around. Now, that's why I say some may be reluctant because of what people have done. But overall, the church wants people to get saved. And we lay our life down to minister the word of God. And then there are those who are strong to do it, and then there are those who are not so strong. You got all kind of people. So what the Lord put on my heart to deal with today is, when you want to help people, how do you help them? Because people can be so reluctant. Well, when when a person see you, they don't know God. If they don't know God, they don't know God is with you. They don't know God is in you. They don't know you have his wisdom. You're a stranger. And you can look just as suspicious as anybody to them. And even racialized, people can think races are a certain way and think a certain way. And see, the world system is categorized by stereotypes. The kingdom of God is not. God doesn't stereotype. He deals with you individually. But in the world system, they're groomed to stereotype. So, if you can love people, first of all, you got to love them, because we deal with unfeigned love. That's what God does with us. His love is unfeigned. It's not fake. It's not fake love. It's true love. All right. Once you get, if you have true love for others, then be kind to all men. And when they are frustrated, when they're aggravated, when they are judging you by stereotypes and hearsay and opinions of others, don't let it bother you. Love them anyway. Be kind anyway. Do what's right anyway. Help them when you can anyway, in spite of it. Even though people do you wrong, be consistent with the unfeigned love of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, if we can do that, that opens the door for people to hear the gospel when it's time for you to speak it. And in the course of that, and you have to give people time to get to know you as a person. And you never change from your steadfast, unfeigned love. So they're going to come a little closer. In other words, their opinion of you starts forming differently. That's why I say they'll start looking at you different, beyond the scope of the stereotypes. And if you can be genuine and live according to the wisdom of God, see, the whole time you're doing things God's way. You're operating according to his wisdom. You're speaking his word. You're operating according to his kindness. You're judging things the proper way. And you're helping people live. And you're helping them go forward. All of these things work together. So if you live according to the unfeigned love of God, and you remain kind no matter what happens, you stay the same. You don't let them sway you. Even when they're wrong, you don't, you stay strong in the Lord. Eventually, the door will open where you can tell them your testimony and what God did in your life. And that'll put them in a position where they have to do something with that new opinion of you. Because if you seem to be of sound mind, you do things in a wise way, you're not foolish in your speech, you're outstanding in your work, and you love them. And now you're saying that Jesus did things in your life, and he died 2,000 years ago. And you're helping Jesus not be a stranger to them. And when you share your testimony and the goodness of God, that things you know about that he's done for others, it all works together to break the barriers, the satanic barriers, the blinders that he's put on them. Because Satan don't want people to know God. I'm going to tell you this. There are some sinners he's afraid will get saved. And when he's suspicious of people, he tried to get them in trouble. Before I got saved, he tried to get me in bad trouble. He was afraid of me. He feared me. And he tried to get me in trouble. A guy was after me with a gun. It was, I mean, and this could have went sideways. I could have hurt that guy. But the Lord gave me wisdom. And I was a sinner. And other things happen. And some things I never told my parents about. But it was the enemy trying to get me in trouble. But my parents prayed for me. And the Lord used the counsel of my mother. She would talk to me and tell me things at strategic times. And I had something to go on. And I was a sinner. It's not that I didn't believe in God, but I was not a Christian. I did not believe on Him as my Savior yet. And I knew that. I knew it was important. Now, when I was a child, you know, I thought that, you know, I loved God, but I never believed on Him as my Savior consciously and knowingly till I was 19 years old. But I agreed with Jesus when I was a child, but, you know, I didn't know that I had to make Him my Savior. I didn't know that wasn't explained to me till I was 10. And when it was, I wanted to try things first. I didn't get saved. And, you know, I didn't think I could do everything I was supposed to, so I said, I'm going to wait. And that wasn't right, but that's what I did. But God worked with me anyway. He honored the prayers of my parents. I know my parents prayed for me. Both of them. And church members too. My dad pastored some good churches, and I know that they prayed for me. And things went good. Every time the enemy tried to come against me, I always got out of trouble. And there were some things I had decided to do, and I was interrupted. But after I got old enough to understand, I had to make better judgments. But the Lord helped me when I was a child and when I was an adolescent. I started wanting to be a Christian when I was 17, late 17 to 19, but I wanted to make sure I would do right. And that was a big concern of mine. And people that I trusted explained the gospel even more. My cousin did a good job when I was 10, and that word stuck with me. Then it was watered by others. And two coke men came to the grocery store I worked at. You know, I've talked about this in other broadcasts, but they went around telling everybody about Jesus, and we all started getting saved. And some of the guys in the produce department got saved first, and then others, then I did, a few months later. And the Lord is too good for people to not know Him. And I know that He tried to get people in trouble if He's suspicious of them. He can tell that some people will hear the gospel and they'll believe. And there are some people that have committed murder, and they've been in gunfights, and they shot somebody trying to protect themselves. They end up in jail and out of the way because Satan he started the whole thing just to get them off the street. While they were out there in the world, he tried to corral them into jail or get them killed or something. He's afraid of people getting saved. So when you live the life of God, that opens the door. When you tell them your testimony, that puts them on the spot. And once their heart is humble enough and they're searching, then the Lord will move on you. See, it takes the Holy Spirit to know what to do, when to do, and what to do. If the Holy Spirit ever move on you to say a certain thing to certain people or anyone, do it. Just follow along with it. It's going to work. You're going to give that person life. You're going to introduce them to true life. Pastor like to say, you're going to life them. You're introducing them to life. And they're at a point they can receive. And the Holy Spirit is aware that they can or might receive. So every person is precious to God, and the way we minister to people has to be done according to His guidance. If you have a strong relationship with the Lord, you'll know what to do. If you sense what to do, act on it. That's God too. If you don't have a relationship where God talked to you and you talk to him, but you sense what to do, act on what you sense, follow the peace. Pay attention to the Lord and follow the peace. He'll always help you say the right thing at the right time. Now, sometimes you'll just be in a conversation talking and the Lord will cause you to say something at the right time. You may not even know it. But you have to be yielded to him. And that's how we learn. I learned the dialogue with the Lord from praise and worship. I was around people who loved to worship God. And I would go in his presence. And, you know, while I was in his presence, I'd start asking questions. When I saw being speaking under the anointing, I'd ask God to cause me to say what I needed to hear. I wanted the guidance of the Lord. I welcomed it, and the Holy Spirit knew it. See, when you're in faith, you can access all the privileges of the kingdom of God. And remember, the things of the knowledge of God is multiplied to us. The things of the Holy Spirit, knowledge, wisdom, counsel, those things are multiplied to us. The blessings of God are multiplied. But as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the things that we get concerned about, they're added to us. So the way to help people out the most is to remain yielded to the Lord and live according to the character of God. Remember, we're dead in Christ. We're dead to sin. We don't have to revile people when they revile us. Sometimes it's not in fear either. And if you do things out of fear, people can tell that and they'll try to manipulate you. Don't be afraid. If you turn the other cheek, don't do it because you're afraid. Do it because God says so. And it's different. You know, when I grew up, I'd fight. If I had to fight, I'd fight. If somebody bothering somebody that was weaker, I'd fight. If I felt somebody was trying to bully me, I'd fight. But turning the other cheek is a step further. And whenever I worked to not provoke violence, I didn't do it because I was afraid. I did it because I was concerned and I loved the people. And when people know that you're not afraid of them and yet you're not provoking violence, that makes them wonder, well, this person must really care about me. And that was true. I did care about people. I didn't want to fight. I didn't want to hurt them. And it works. It helps people. See, when you love people, they'll respect you. And the Lord taught me that. If you love them, they'll respect you. They may not even like you, but they will respect you. They may be jealous of you, but they'll still respect you. Because you love them. And if you're wise, you'll hold their attention. If you do things in a wise way, they know it. Some people will get in competition, but they'll watch how you do things. And then if you're holy, if you do what's right, then they'll trust you. And I like to play pranks and carry on at work sometimes, but I don't want to provoke people either. You know, whatever I do, I want to, you know, I do it. I love the guy. So sometimes people don't want to play. And if I can tell that they don't want, I don't do it. I just stop. They may be going through something. And I take them serious and I care about them. And sometimes I don't want to play. And people can tell if you're not in a playful, if you're not in a gaming mood, they can tell. But when things are good, you know, it's good to have a good time. But we have to be sensitive to each other. You can make the difference because you're made in God's image. You can express His love. If you can express His love and His righteousness, you can win the loss. You can be a blessing to people at your will. And when the Lord give you the things to say, when the anointing comes on you to help people or say something that's necessary, it works. You can help them. Some people they desire somebody to do their work for them. And they don't want help. They want somebody to do their responsibilities. If you do their responsibilities, you're not helping them. They need to do their own responsibilities. And I don't believe in doing another man's work. He can do his own work. Or he can starve. And I'll tell him that. I love him, though. But I'm not going to do that work for them. I'll help them. I'll give them advice if I can. But they can do their own work. It's not reasonable to do somebody else's work or responsibilities unless something happened to them. If they got both of the legs broke, and they were that's when they need you, you know. If it's a person, an older person that can't get out there and fix the hole in a roof or whatever, then that's fine. They need your help. But if they strong enough to mud wrestle, they don't need your help. They need to go do their own work. If they strong enough to go play basketball and football and wrestle and horseplay, they can do their own work. But if something happened to somebody, then that's fine. Help them. But by all means, be kind. Your love is such a blessing. It speaks louder than the voice of this world. And the Lord can do things with people who yield to Him. Never underestimate what God can do with you to help others. He can cause you to be a tremendous blessing to people. And I thank Him for that, you know, to be a blessing to people when they need you. If you can, and if you're available, then do so. All of these things make a difference. And seeking to be a blessing to people, seeking, you know, being kind to people, that goes a long way. It's easy to win souls when we do things according to the Lord. The Lord our God has many things in store for everyone who enters the kingdom of God. They're going to love it. If the love of God is in them, they'll love it. But if their heart is set to the world, they won't go. Even if they wanted to go, God won't let people in the kingdom of God. If they're connected to the evil of the world. Remember, God hates sin. If we want God, we have to get rid of sin. You can't have God and sin. It's not going to work. God hates sin. Sin is destructive. All right, let's put it another way. You hate cancer. Everybody in their right mind, they hate cancer because they know cancer will be the end of them. Just like you hate cancer, God hates sin. It's the opposite of what He is. It's the opposite of life. Every way of the world is the opposite of life. We're introduced to sin. From our perspective, we don't live long anyway. We don't really get a chance to see the end game of sin. We die because of sin. But sin will harden your heart to a point that you don't want to be right anymore. Now, with that being said, we do have enough evidence to trust God. We have seen enough damage that sin can do in our days. In the days of Noah, before the flood, men lived almost 1,000 years. The oldest man recorded was 969 years old. Now, there could have been people that did live to be over 1,000 years old. But the oldest man recorded was Methuselah. He lived to be 969 years old. Adam lived to be 939 years old. And so 1,000 years is like one day with God. All right? If a person stay in the world long enough, their heart will get hard. It's easier to get a child saved than an adult. Unless the adult humbles himself. A mindset goes with sin. And it takes an anointing to break the bond, the bonds of sin. There are many representations in nature, and I like to use the spider's web. When a black widow spider catches a fly, or any kind of spider catches a fly and don't want to eat right then, he wraps him up in that web. And the spider couldn't get out, even whether he wants to or not. First, the spider stings the fly, or bites him and injects him with something to make him relax. And then he wraps him up. He can't move yet. Now, it'll wear off, but he can't move right then, so he wraps him up, and he'll never get out on his own, ever. That's why God anoint ministers to minister the word to break the chains and the bonds of sin. Now, only people who operate according, who yield to the Lord can do this. If the Lord anoints somebody, their anointing can break the yoke. Watch this. The mercy of God runs so deep. Even a person with the anointing that has backslid can still operate in the anointing and still break yokes. But the problem is, people think that whatever that person do is all right, because they don't know that God will use a person to help others that's not right with him. That's why many going to come to him saying, "Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We did all these works. We worked miracles in your name." And he going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." They turn back to the world. You know, a minister said, "Lord, why did you move in that service? And you know I wasn't right with you." And the Lord said, "The devil's fooling you, boy." He said, "What's happening is the enemy know that you're in sin, and he got you. So when the people come to church, the enemy just back off, and they just have church. Those that love God have church without satanic interference, and they think they have a great move of God. But when you love God for real, you have a great move of God anyway. You don't need the enemy to back off. You'll back him off yourself." We have to heed the word of God. Watch the way the word of God is written, and you'll stay safe. Don't trust sin, ever. Period. Even if you love God, you don't have a license to sin. And there were false prophets that tried to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, a license to sin. And that's not the purpose of God's grace. The purpose of God's grace is to work with you till you grow up. Not so that you can have a good time in the world and use him to help you sin and then be all right with him. Real repentance turns from sin. And that's what we're trying to get others to do. But sin is addictive, and man is really outclassed. Man is no match for sin, but sin is no match for God. We have to trust God's ways to depart from it. And until we get our mind right, we need a priest. That's why Jesus is, even though he washed us in his blood, he's still our priest, because we have to grow and become like him. Jesus is our high priest because that's what we need him to be. God is working with us. See, people don't understand. God hates sin. He don't care who it is. He loves us, but he hates sin. So Jesus represents us to the Father. Now, just as he is, so are we. He made us kings and priests. And we're supposed to pray people through, just like my parents prayed for me when I was naughty, when I was still a sinner. And I believe sometimes the Lord moved on them what to pray for. And the Holy Spirit will cause my mom to teach me things at the right time. I'm not just making things up. This really happened. I tried to go out there and do wrong sometime. But something always happened and it always got balled up and I couldn't do some of the things. And I had such a strong will. I thank God that he redirected my path.